Hello, everybody. It's 7 p.m., and I'd like to call the December 11th, 2023 general meeting to order. Madam Clerk, could you give us the roll call, please?
Madam Mayor,
Here.
Vice Mayor Taylor,
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll,
Here.
Councilmember Patrick, Councilmember Patrick, Councilmember Makoviak,
Here.
Councilmember Bishop. Councilmember Bishop. Councilmember Taylor.
Here.
Madam Mayor, we have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. And Councilmember Muscovite, would you read us the vision statement, please?
We envision a distinctive community that prospers while and by protecting its natural resources, with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Thank you. And before we start the meeting, I would like to ask the public to mute your phones and keep your video off. The meeting will be recorded and posted to the website, and the packet will be projected during the meeting and is also available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. That's our website. All right. And I need a council member to move to approve the general meeting minutes.
Madam Mayor, I move to approve by unanimous consent the November 13, 2023 City Council General Meeting Minutes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Yeah, I'm sorry, that would be Council Member Driscoll. Okay, it is moved by Council Member Taylor and seconded by Council Member Driscoll. To move to approve by unanimous consent the November 13th, 2023 City Council General Meeting Minutes. And the minutes have been previously distributed. Do any members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay, seeing no hands, do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes? Okay. Are there any objections to passing the November 13th, 2023 general meeting minutes? Hearing none, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. And now we will have the mayor's request for agenda changes. Are there any requests from the council for agenda changes? Seeing no hands or anyone in council chambers, are there any objections? And no objections. Okay, we're going to the committee reports and staff reports. I'll invite the presenters in order listed to speak. Please state your name, department, and keep reports to 5 minutes or less. The council will then have an opportunity to ask clarifying questions only. The first report is the library director quarterly report. And Leanne Weichel is here to report.
All right, good evening. I'm Leanne Weichel. I'm the Library Services Director, and I am thrilled to be here tonight. Melissa is with me on Zoom, so she's available for questions too, if anybody has anything for her. We want to start out by thanking the council for your support in the budget that was passed in the last meeting. We are grateful on behalf of all the Gustavus patrons that we'll be able to purchase books and puzzles and DVDs and support our programs. So thank you for that. I'm not sure if the report is up, but it includes a lot of pictures. We're a big believer in pictures are worth a thousand words. And I am always, always striving to keep this to under 5 minutes. And so I wrote a really short summary of what I wanted to talk about tonight. I thought that would help me keep on topic. First of all, at the beginning of the report, there's a typo. Our numbers are all up. We've been increasing in number of checkouts, increasing in number of patrons in the library, increasing in number of programs being offered, but it is incorrect on there that we do not have 1,152 DVD checkouts. That should be corrected to 152 DVD checkouts for the first month of the quarter. The other thing that we wanted to highlight tonight is that some of our programs have really been amazing. One of them is the Spooky Read. And the reason it was amazing is because A, it was a partnership with the school and it highlighted literacy and worked to improve literacy. And then the second reason it was really amazing is because we had guest readers from all different parts of the community. And the third reason it was really, really amazing is that we love when it's things that are multi-generational. We had preschoolers, we had newborns, we had adults, we had seniors, we had moms and dads. And so it really truly felt like a community event. And that was pretty awesome. This was our second year and we plan on continuing that. The school just reached out again to see if we would work with them on another literacy event. And so I'll have more details about that. Something new this year is on Wednesday nights, we're doing something called Pizzas, Puzzles, and Games. We check out puzzles and games as a service to the community. And they're pretty highly checked out, which has been very rewarding to see. And then the idea is to bring the community in again in a multi-generational approach. This is something that's for adults. It's for kids after school. And it's been awesome. We've had probably the biggest influx of teenagers actually coming in to play games. A shout out to Jane Button and Jay Capella. They're kind of Skippo sharks for the game, if you know the card game Skippo. So they've been playing with kids and it's been working out awesome. And then, we learned that we could get Papa Murphy's pizzas flown in. And so we're selling them for $2 a piece, which is just enough. A piece of pizza is just enough to cover the cost of the pizza, which is awesome. It keeps it paying forward. Our Wednesday nights and Thursday nights have become super, super busy. And this last Thursday was amazing because we had art club that started at 3:30. And then from there, we had the Everybody Welcome Library Band, which had 12 members now with all kinds of instruments. And then when that finished, there was a group there from camp, which was Citizens Against Money and Politics. And then after that, there was a travel show. And so, Shelley, thank you for the idea of bringing travel back to the library, because it's been a really good addition and there were 30 people at it. So clearly the community wanted it. One of the things that has been a new challenge for the library is working in partnership with the community center and figuring out what programming makes sense where. And it's kind of become apparent that the library's niche is maybe a little bit more intimate when people just want a little bit smaller venue. They don't want the big wide open spaces. And so things like the Everybody Library Band and the travel show and things like that have been really nice to have at the library. I think that's all I wanted to say. Oh, wait. About a year and a half ago, we wrote a grant for something called Books for Babes. And it's part of the 1,000 Books Before K program that the nationwide exists. And this is focusing on birth through 36 months. And we kicked off our first one last Friday and it went really well. So it's going to be every Friday at 10 a.m. for babies through 36 months and their parents or caregivers. And I just, again, thank you for the people involved in either donating to that program or the grant. And Melissa asked me to throw out one more thank you. Artemis is putting together our new bike racks and we're really, really grateful for that. So I think that's everything I want to say. If you have any questions? I am open for questions.
Okay, yes, go ahead. Councilmember Taylor.
Looks like you're making great progress on the mural.
Yes.
Can you tell us about when is that going to be all done? Or
the goal for the mural is to be done before December 8th, because one of the scientists that helped articulate the Ketik when she was first put back together is leaving on the 8th. And we promised to try to get it done before she left. January 8th.
Yeah.
Because she was one of the whale researchers involved in that. And she's been really a big supporter of this whole thing. Jess Mulligan is doing an amazing job of bringing this whole thing to life. And it's been a delight to watch it happen. And just for everybody, the background on it is that when Brian Waverly passed away, his widow, Alice, at his memorial, took all the memorial funds and dedicated to the library, as long as we use them for an art endeavor. And so this was, seemed like the right time to finally put the mural behind Ketik. And it's beautiful. We've had some help along the way. Lou Cassiopo and my husband, Dean, built the frame. They volunteered as volunteers and built the frame and put the canvas and stretched the canvas and hung it up. And the Patricks have loaned us the use of their scaffolding. And I'm sure there's one more person I need to thank, but I wasn't ready to do that yet tonight. So it's coming along. People need to stop by and see. Great. It's beautiful. And we're really, really pleased. And Jess was exactly the right artist to bring that whole thing to fruition. So we're planning on having what we're calling a whale of a reception sometime before January 8th. And that's the goal. And I haven't really said much more about it yet because we want to wait until it's done. Don't want to put too much pressure on Jess. She's working really hard. I'm pretty sure she's right there right now working because I stopped in to take care of some other things a couple hours ago and she was there painting, which is awesome.
Thank you. It's great work.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions from council members? No. Thank you, Leanne.
Yep. Thank you.
Okay. Next up is City Treasurer Ben Sadler.
Hi, everybody. This is Ben Sadler, City Treasurer. Sorry, I couldn't be there with you tonight. I'm a little under the weather. So the basic profit and loss information that you have there from one of those sheets, probably the next one down, is usually what I would go over. But I'm going to skip over that tonight and just say that, as usual, we're exactly where we wanted to be. Money's coming in. Money's going out. All the departments are doing well. So that's it for that. Unless you have questions after I get done, I'd be happy to go back and follow up on any specific questions. If you could, whoever's running the thing, if you could go back to the balance sheet real quick. Just wanted to point out there that in our FMBA checking account, you can see that on December 4th, when I did it, we were at about $518,000. That's about $200,000 more than we want to have in our checking account based on the policy that we put in place. I would have tried to have gotten an NCO together for this meeting, but with the AML conference and everything else, I decided to just put it off and we'll get a NCO on the on next month's agenda to get the bank account down to where it's supposed to be. But the fact that we just moved, I don't remember, $400,000 out of our checking account, and a month later we need to move $200,000 out of our checking account, just shows that the city is definitely doing well. So we'll get that taken care of. If you go down now to the next, what is it, the projects, the capital projects current spreadsheet, that one, something I'm going to try to do, I had brought it up, and then Mike brought it up, and I'm going to sit down with the departments. So I'm going to try to get some of those that maybe could be closed out so that we can show more progress. There's a few things there where there's just money lingering. So hopefully by next month, we'll have a few of those projects closed out and that money back into long-term spending for other future projects. Other than that, I've been working on audit prep for the last few weeks. The auditors have sent me a list of information that they'd like to have on hand to go over before they come the third week in January. And so I've been spending a lot of time working on that. And then the last thing that I wanted to ask of the council is, we've been looking, Kathy and I have been following our endowment fund checking account, and it's a roller coaster. It's always either way up or way down. Some months we make $40,000 and some months we lose $40,000. It's kind of confusing, not 100% sure how it works like that. But while I was at the conference up north, I talked to a investment banker about our situation, and he did a presentation for me last year trying to kind of to get us to use some of our AMLIP funds to move some of our AMLIP funds into his investment firm. And I don't think that is something that we need to do, but at the AML conference, he did explain to me the difference between brokerage accounts and managed accounts. And what we have with APCM is a managed account. And he said for a account with $1.4 million in it, that really wasn't where our money needed to be, that we should have it in a brokerage account. We wouldn't be paying management fees and the proceeds would look better. There wouldn't be as much up and down. And so I was hoping that maybe a couple of the council members, if you'd like to get together with me and come up with a time, and I can have him put on a presentation and explain to me and you exactly the difference between the two and how it could benefit Gustavus. And based on what he told me, I think it could really work out for us. So if that's something the council is interested in, then it's something that I'll start working towards. And other than that, I don't have anything unless you have any questions.
Do any council member have qualifying or? Okay, but Councilmember Taylor?
Yeah, I do. I don't see the hand raise icon here. So I guess first I'll address what you were just talking about there, Ben. I've already kind of followed the fact that we're spending about $20,000 a year in management fees for our investment manager, and that's almost the same as what we pay out in grants. And I agree, we should definitely address that. And if moving to a brokerage account is the way to go, I think they have really pretty good robo-advisors these days that can probably meet our funds, our endowment funds targets without costing us $20,000 a year. So yeah, I would love to join you in that. And I had one question, if you don't mind me drawing your attention to, let's see, this is in the profit and loss on the expenses under payroll expenses. I was really confused. I see a negative payroll expense under payroll expenses other for negative $10,786.48. Where we budgeted for $230 of other expenses. And I'm wondering if that's a mistake or how you have a negative expense of almost $11,000 and what that might be.
You know, Brian, without having my computer, I can't answer that question, but you're right. Whatever that is, it's not, there's some kind of mistake there, or I'll send you an email tomorrow morning explaining what that is, because without looking at my computer, I can't tap on it and see what it is.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Yeah, page 21 in the packet, but I'm sure you can pull it up better in your software there.
I see it here on my paper. I just can't click on it. And then to go back to the brokerage thing just real quick, because you did comment on it, the way he explained it to me is that with a managed account, you pay a management fee, but with a brokerage account, you set your desired, what you desire. So say you want 4% return and you get 4.2% return, then you keep the 4% and they keep the 0.2%. That's how brokerage accounts work. So there is no fees if they're not making you money, which is their incentive to make you money. I think it's something that'll really work for the city. I hope so. So we'll just have to see.
Sounds good.
Okay. Are there any other council members that have qualifying questions? clarifying questions. The next report is from the city administrator.
Hi, good evening. We had a busy week last week at the Alaska Municipal League conference and the Alaska Municipal Managers Association meetings as well. But some other items before we get into that is that we very promptly received the $20,000 check from the CrossFit Foundation for the playground equipment, which is really nice to have such a quick turnaround compared to lengthy waits that we usually have for other grant processes and applications. And I'd like to thank again the Custers for introducing us to that committee, to our school staff and children for participating in the process, and to Mike for all his work on the procurement, installation, RFQ, site selection, and the ongoing project management, which he's been updating us with photos regularly of the process, and I'm sure he can talk about the rest of it after. While we were in Anchorage, ADEC contacted me about the documents. We finally got our solid waste planning grant with the Village Safe Water folks. They had all the documents ready and wanted us to sign them, so they had one of their staff members bring the documents to us at the Dena'ina Center so Shelley and I could sign them. And this is the USDA Rural Development Grant that has $66,000 from the USDA federal side and $22,000 from the state sources. And this is to develop a preliminary engineering report, which will evaluate alternatives for treatment of septic receptage that we are just currently pumping into the tanks. And accompanying that will be an environmental review for a preferred alternative that's part of the work. Once we have that in place, I'm hoping we will have a viable solution, and then we can begin to apply for actual project funds. The scrap metal contamination issue has been somewhat resolved. I'm not going to say mostly, but almost. despite the understanding that where we had previously arranged upon a process, when the Northwest Radiation Health physicist arrived on the scene the first time, the AML crew was turned out not being willing to help break down the pallet in question. So even though we scanned for and identified the item location. So as a result, we sent Ian down. We figured it would be much less expensive to have our own staff person go down and break it apart. And who knew what was, you know, a lot of the stuff that was in there or how it was compacted. And so Ian went down and met with the radiation consultants, and they broke it down, found the source. It was from a 3-inch diameter instrument gauge containing radium paint. They were commensurate with the amount of material present. They didn't pose a threat. I have a complete report if anybody wants to see it. I can email it to them. The box containing the gauge and the other items used in the removal process, which, you know, they had to decon everything, went into a big box and got taped up and marked up. And now it's going to have to go to a disposal facility that is able to accept radioactive material. And I'm just awaiting a recommendation with an accompanying estimate for that process. It's not going to be cheap, but we'll see what happens. we did get a response from one of those companies asking a particular question, which had to do with the levels. And it seemed to be a question related to if those levels were under a certain threshold, it might not cost as much as what we thought it might cost. So fingers crossed, we're going to say, well, the process that we did and took care of this, hopefully will keep the disposal costs down. I'm continuing to go through many funding opportunities that we might benefit from. And I'm finding more and more a lot of agencies have a convoluted process to even to say you intend to apply, let alone getting to where you have to apply. Some of them are competitive and require that they have significant local or regional impact. So things like our, like people have recommended the RAISE grant, but I don't know that our Gustavus, that our Good River Bridge will score well on that because it's minimally used. So we have to keep looking for other options for those projects, which I continue to do. We are still awaiting the news from the wildfire through community wildfire fire protection planning grant. We are in the process, or one of the groups that were selected to participate in a group application process. And I worked with Leah. Now, I understand Leah's on the phone, so if you have any or on the meeting, I'm going to just briefly say that we worked together with mostly Leah's work on, and some others, I think Whitney and a few others, on a letter to be presented to Alaska Airlines at their advisory group meeting last week about our ever shortened air service window and how, what those economic impacts are. And Leah did a survey. She sent some of those results. We sent it along with Jeff Larson, who is got property here and who's on their advisory board. And I also passed it along to another person that I know who is on that advisory board. And we don't know what the outcome of that is. I don't know if Leah has anything to add, or if you want to ask her at this time, if she has anything to add, but, or do you want me to just finish this and then ask her? Just finish it? Okay. At the meetings last week, there was a lot of beneficial sessions. They did a really good presentation, the mayor of Homer, about the public engagement and the current processes or best practices. They talked about the artificial intelligence for local government. And by the way, we need to be looking at those policies because those are open. Those aren't apps that you have to have your IT people put on the computer. Anybody can use them. Anybody can go in. And we may have to look at policies and include that in our next RFQ for our managed IT services. There's a lot out there that have to be scrutinized for using that within our city government. There was more broadband discussions. There's a draft plan available for comment. Went to preparing for and mitigating environmental impacts, cybersecurity planning and implementation. We heard from a panel of experienced rural managers and mayors with an additional discussion with federal officials. They had a bunch of folks from the executive branch and legislative branch that talked about their priorities and the governor's budget priorities. I went to a very interesting session on implementing effective asset management, which is fundamental to achieving a sustainable community. And it talked about how you think about the life of your projects and where your projects are and how you're going to sustain them over time when you go into building them or replacing them. And they also talked about putting natural assets on those balance sheets, like our ditches and our waterways and things like that, that those are part of our assets that we don't give a dollar value to. We talked about transportation financing tools. And again, all the legislative priorities that were put out by AML are available on a document. If you want a copy or a link, or you can go to AML and find the document there about the priorities for the legislature they'll be moving forward. So that's what I have. If there's any questions.
I was wondering if we should proceed, see if Leah wanted to comment on the Alaska Airlines meeting, and then we'll move on to questions. Okay. Leah, are you available and willing to talk to us about the advisory group meeting?
Hi, yes. I don't have that email in front of me at the moment to be able to quote from, but the gist of response that came back from Marcy, who we were liaising with, was that it is likely that we need to justify the subsidy of Alaska Airlines and with the empty seats, because we all know that they're not full. And it was suggested that if we group together with the other communities, our neighboring communities who also utilize that Alaska Airlines subsidy flights, and put together a letter that could be submitted in support of maintaining that subsidy, and the duration of that subsidy, and the essential airlines opportunities. So we don't know what the actual results from the advisory panel of the Alaska Airlines was, but that was the suggestion going into the meeting, that the Alaska Airlines was likely to come back to us with is how we can support and justify that subsidy airlines and collectively work together with our neighbors to support that.
Thank you, Leah. And
thank you.
Councilmember Taylor, did you want to ask a question?
Well, with regard to the CrossIt grant, that's great news that they are so quick in providing that for us. And I'd like to recommend that we put an NCO on the agenda for January to appropriate that to the project. And then we would, which will put the balance of the project over what we will spend totally. And then when we close out the project, we would then do an NCO to transfer the remainder back to our capital funding. And so that would return, we would use that way all of the grant money for the project and would return at that point the money that we already, or some of the money that we already put into the project. And then also with regard to the AI work, I'm really pleased that you had some discussions on that in the meeting. I think generative AI is going to just explode in 24. And the opportunities for using it for so many of our city functions are really going to be huge. And so I hope that we'll be looking for ways to integrate generative AI into doing things like generating resolutions or changes to code, to doing contract documents, grant applications, and lots of things. So there are a lot of beneficial things we can do with that.
Oh, that's good thinking. I appreciate that. Do any other council members have any questions this time? I don't see any hands up. I do want to commend Administrator Leary for the incredible work that she did on it was practically a mystery novel of figuring out the scrap metal contamination issue and working out the problems and contacting and networking and sending in down. And it all, for something that seemed pretty chaotic and somewhat scary, it was a pretty smoothly run operation. And
Lisa, just wanted to mention,
oh, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, the Alaska Municipal League, we don't have their website, you know, on the tip of our fingers, but you can Google it or DuckDuckGo it, and they have just remarkable materials online. Okay, are we ready to move on? Okay. Next up is the public comment on non-agenda items. This is a comment period for non-agenda items only. It's not intended for discussion. Does any members of the public wish to comment on non-agenda items at this time? Okay, I don't see any hands raised up. We have some agenda items that aren't pertinent to this month's meeting, the consent agenda. Isn't scheduled. The ordinance for public hearing isn't scheduled. And we don't have any unfinished business. That moves us to New business, item number 6, 2023 endowment fund extension request. I believe that Councilmember Taylor has a motion to make.
Yes, Madam Mayor. I move to approve the request for both Tidelines Institute and the Gustavus Community Center to extend their endowment fund deadlines from December 31st, 2023 to September 9th, 2024.
I'll second that.
Okay. And it is moved by Councilmember Mayor or Taylor and seconded by Councilmember Muscoviac that to approve the request for both Tidelines Institute and Gustavus Community Center to extend the endowment fund deadline from December 31st, 2023 to September 9th, 2024. Okay, Councilmember Mayor Taylor, would you like to provide a summary if the at this time?
Well, we had requests, as I understand it, we had requests that were acceptable to our treasurer for to extend the deadlines for both of those organization projects. And the general reason for the need to extend them has been the delay in the supply chain, you could say, in being able to get the work contracted and completed. That's a problem throughout our economy. So we understand that, and we should be happy to extend the deadlines for those worthy projects.
Okay. Are there any members of the public who wish to comment on this issue? Not seeing any more. We can now move to council debate. And unless Councilmember Taylor wishes to make more comments, and we do, it is item number 6 in our pack at the Tidelines. We're plagued by supply chain issues, as they said, and the Gustavus Community Center determined that they would need to have more preparation work, which they spelled out with gutters and downspouts and D1 gravel and bollards and parking stops. So do any other council members wish to comment on at this time? Okay, Councilmember Driscoll.
Yes, so in terms of the amount of the extension, can you repeat the dates or for how long it is, and is there a reason not to just extend it for the full year?
We're operating on their request. The motion was to extend the deadline from December 31st to September 9th, 2024. I believe that the Tidelines requested an extension through May 15th, 2024. And I don't see a specific, a city clerk.
Yes, I can speak to that for a moment. The reason we extended it to September was due to prior extensions, because in September, that's when we start the next endowment fund process. So it'd be nice to have this one wrapped up with a bow on top before we get into the next one. So it was kind of just going on prior endowment extensions.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions or discussion? Are we ready for the vote? The question is on the motion to approve the request for both Tidelines Institute and Gustavus Community Center to extend the endowment fund deadline from December 31st, 2023 to September 9th, 2024. May we have a roll call, Madam Clerk?
Brian Taylor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Muscoviac?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Now we're coming up on City Council member reports. And I have to apologize that the work session, several of us were sort of gathered in a hotel room, and there may have been a difficulty hearing some of the reports. So I would encourage people, if they wish to remake the report that they made in the work session, to feel free to, but also if not, just provide us if there's any new information. I guess the first is the bike path update, the SS4A grant. Councilmember Moskowiak.
Well, there's really nothing to report. We're still awaiting, with our fingers crossed, their response or to see if we're qualified for the grant. And I heard that they're going to make an announcement in December, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, thank you. On the beach wheelchair update, Councilmember Driscoll, is there anything new to report?
Yes, so I did contact several of the people that have used the beach wheelchairs in their either businesses or in their cities, and I've gotten some really positive feedback from David Vaughn, who's a beach safety director in Santa Rosa Beach, Florida, who really spoke about the high quality of the debug wheelchairs, their low maintenance, and that they were fairly easy for anyone who had any type of strength to be able to use. He said they had a small footprint on the beach and trails and walkways, and he thought that they were a great value, indicating that he still has some from 2008 that they're still using. I spoke with Nan Devlin from Tillamook Coast in Oregon, and she said that they too use the chairs on different terrains and beach dunes, trails, pebble paths, and that the chairs handled it well. And she said that their maintenance was minimal and that the debug company was really great to work with. And the best part, she said, was when someone emails her and talks about how meaningful it was to be able to have a grandparent or a disabled family member join them on the beach. There was another person that I talked with who had a little bit of concerns about the wheels being able to use on multiple terrains, but everyone else that I talked to indicated that that wasn't an issue. And she did say, this is from Ocean City, Maryland, that they receive only compliments on the debug chairs, using them on the sand, but that on some other surfaces, they did have some issues. And I talked with the people from Debug about those, and they gave me some information about the tire pressure amount and some other details as well. And so I also spoke with Kimber Owen, who has experience with the wheelchairs, not necessarily this brand, but some on used in other areas. And she did think that the debug would be a good choice. And she had some suggestions in modifying the trail and access from the parking lot for the beach and to the trails. And so I maybe will ask Mike to talk, because he said he took the chair out, the one that we've got from sale. And even though that one itself has some issues, but he might be able to report some on what he's learned.
Okay. Yeah, I put the chair in the back of my truck and took it down to the east side parking area. And my wife came along, had her sit in the chair, and I rolled it out through the kayak opening and down onto the beach. And it rolled over the sand just fine. I think one of the tires was a little low. Of course, this chair is missing its footrest, and there's supposed to be a footrest in there on there, as Councilmember Taylor pointed out in our work session, I think it is, and we've seen that in the photos of the from the manufacturer. So, and apparently that footrest got lost somewhere, and we don't have it. And without the footrest, the chair is not really usable for somebody who can't hold their legs up. So that's really absent a replacement of that, the chair would not be useful. My wife also thought that the armrests were a little uncomfortable. They were too short. But as a concept, it does roll on the sand just fine over both dry sand and the hard sand down closer or where the tide had just gone down. So they certainly do work. And I think we could access the beach with that and a lot of the meadow trails just fine without any modifications to anything in the other. I mean, with a suitable chair could handle our terrain just fine without significant modifications and get just about everywhere we want to go.
Thank you for that. And also thank Karen. I wish we had a video of that event.
Oh, by the way, if you want me to take that back to sale in Juneau, I'd be happy to do that. I'm take my truck on the ferry next week, so I could just put it in and take it back over there if that's what you'd like.
Do you have any thoughts about the possibility of welding a footrest or whatever it would take to put that together?
Probably you'd have to buy the missing piece from the manufacturer and reinstall it. And it could be that once that's reinstalled, some of the issues that people noticed, there were some, the wheels seemed wobbly and so forth, that may actually keep things from moving around as much. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think it's the best design chair probably compared to the debug ones perhaps and some of the other ones that Councilmember Driscoll has looked into. So it's probably not the best. The only good thing about it was free. So, but, you know, and there's also the issue of whether, as some of the council members have raised, whether a better investment might be to get one of the beach walkers, because there might be a lot more people who would be able to use or would be interested in using the walker, people with bad knees or just got a hip replacement or whatever and would still like to be able to walk on the beach but need a walker while they recuperate. Something like that might have more users than a wheelchair. But I don't know. That's just a guess.
I guess my primary concern is that we don't really have storage space for it. And then we would also have to look into getting the footrest. But do you have any recommendations?
Well, maybe I'd lead, since Councilmember Driscoll is sort of leading the project, I'd let her make her recommendation on that. I mean, you could make this chair work if you can get the footrest. It's not great, but a new chair might be better. But of course, we've got to spend the money for it, and they're not cheap.
Councilmember Driscoll, did you want to comment?
So it's hard for me, not having, you know, the chair in front of me or having used it on the beach, to be able to really nix it. I understand it's, you know, it's, is the question will become, is it something better than nothing? But my hesitation is maybe similar to what Mike is saying, is that if it's not really going to work well, is it worth the effort to put into getting it up to speed? Because we don't know that indeed it will. When I used it in the, just even in City Hall, I noticed that the seat itself moved back and forth on the back axle. And when you would go to turn it, it rubbed against the back wheel. And I'm curious if Mike had that same issue when he had it on the beach.
I didn't notice any problem particularly with that, but maybe if I'd run it longer or over some rougher stuff, it might've been more of a problem, but it didn't seem to, there was nothing like that that was hampering me and pushing it along. So, and again, perhaps when that footrest piece goes in, which is not just a simple rest at the bottom, it actually supports the legs and it ties into the frame. That might tie some things together that were a little wobbly before. If you got the pieces, you got all the stuff on it that it's supposed to have, then you could tell whether that was still a problem or not.
So I can, you know, go either way. I can, like, see what I can do to research to contact the manufacturer and see if we can get that part. Or I can go with, if the rest of the council members decide they'd rather send it back, I can go with that as well.
Yes, I would like to see you follow up on your suggestion to approach the manufacturer and see what the expense is. First of all, see if they have a replacement part for the footrest and to find out a little bit more of that, I guess. And then we sort of have an issue of where do we store it?
Yeah, we'd have to build some little shelter for it wherever it goes, unless you want to maybe leave it under the restroom cover. The entrance to the two restrooms over there might be a possibility. But...
Well, why don't we carry this over till next month and see what Councilmember Driscoll finds out? Discuss it again.
Okay, yeah, I will see what I can find out in terms of by contacting the manufacturer and see what I can find out about the footrest.
Okay, that brings to the mayor's report.
And so I just did have one other thing, is that we are still thinking about the possibility, as Mike said, about to have a walker as well. And I totally agree with that. That would be a very functional item to have as well.
Okay, thank you.
Playground equipment.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Thank you very much. I was just sort of speeding ahead, I guess. Okay, Councilmember Taylor, could you talk to us about the playground update?
Okay, I can be pretty brief. We talked about it in a work session, and not too much has changed. He's done some more backfilling out there. I think he had to take his truck to town and bring back some timbers, which he may. I haven't checked in with him this afternoon to see if he came back on the ferry and what those, but we needed the timbers to outline the pad, and so he could finish backfilling it. But we're getting very close to having the equipment all installed. The kids do come and play on the Revy wheel spinner from time to time, and they're all looking forward to being able to climb all over the rest of the equipment that is still nearing completion. Jesse Soder from the school and our clerk Liesel are planning to organize a little bit of a ceremony so that we can have the kids come, and maybe we'll have a ribbon cutting thing, and hope perhaps a speech from the mayor to highlight the value of the kids' involvement in coming to the city and learning a little bit about how they could influence what the city does and how it meets the needs of the community. And it was really great that they brought that idea to us, and it's going to be a great pleasure to see it finalized and kids playing all over the stuff, especially in the summer.
And the next item was going to be the town hall meeting update, but with two council members out today, Council Member Patrick and Bishop, perhaps Madam Clerk, we can add that to next month's agenda. Okay, and then that brings me to the mayor's report. And
so I do have my hand up on this. I had a question if there was a date that you were kind of a target date that you thought the playground equipment would be finished.
The playground equipment. We should probably be done with it. And I know we want to have any kind of opening ceremony before or while the kids are still in school before the winter break. So that's kind of the plan. Well, I'll just have to check in and see if there's anything that's going to hold it up any further.
Okay.
Thanks.
Any more questions? Okay, I think we're done. Okay, so the mayor's report is the city administrator said we spent the last week up in Anchorage at the Alaska Municipal League. It's the 73rd annual local government conference, and it was a pretty amazing time. Lots and lots of sessions, and we were able to spread ourselves out pretty much. I'm just going to kind of whiz through sort of what I sat in on, preparing for and mitigating environmental impacts, the discussion about mitigation plan development and grant opportunities, mapping and data analysis, lots and lots of discussion throughout these presentations that I went to about funding opportunities and assistance in obtaining them. Let's see, we sat in on hiring and managing a village public officer, the Coastal Caucus and Strengthening Coastal Resilience with Robert Venables from Southeast Conference, discussing the Alaska Marine Highway System, mariculture and community collaboration, federal and state infrastructure investment opportunities, Alaska public lands. And this brought a discussion of the Public Interest Lands Act, or our PILT funding. And I have some questions about that that I'm going to want to follow up about. If the Huniboro petition were to pass, we would lose a large portion of federally owned land from which we're getting the PILT funds. But I don't know whether that's a concern or not. It's just a question that that I thought of as we were sitting through that. Other sessions I sat in on were sustainable energy strategies and assessment property taxes, which I didn't think was terribly relevant to us right now. And it was probably one of the most interesting panel discussions that I attended. Okay, so of the other issues that we've been looking at, Alaska Airlines, we're still waiting on DOT's response to TSA's letter. And while we wait, we're doing our research and reviewing options. And then as Administrator Leary mentioned, there's ongoing discussion about Alaska Airlines and the potential for extending their season. One of the council members, Taylor and Muscoviac and I are working on is the public access on the Hydro Road at the request of the Olney's, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, FERC, will be conducting a dispute resolution session with AP&T and has invited the city to participate. The earliest opportunity evidently would be in mid-January. They suggested to FERC that the session be held in Gustavus so that there could be public opportunity for the public to contribute. I think that that FERC mentioned that it is a that there are confidentiality regulations, and we'll have to find out whether that's something that could be waived by the parties. So we're hoping, the three of us have been working on a memo to FERC, which I hope to send out tomorrow, which states our position that FERC licensing requires public access, and we'll have more to say on that next month. There's another discussion about the AP&T filing for interim and permanent rate increases. This was, we discussed this up in Anchorage because Skagway has filed a petition to intervene with the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. They're hoping Southeast communities will join in the petition and share their legal costs. We're having a discussion about that. I don't know if Kathy, if you wanted to comment on this item.
Well, what their assembly member told me was they're doing a protest. They're not doing they're not filing whatever we filed the last time they did a rate increase. So we're not sure about legal costs. We decided we weren't going to do that this time. When the governor's office, when the chief of staff was talking about how inexpensive hydropower is in Southeast Alaska, both of us immediately after he was finished speaking went and found him. And I showed him my electric bill. The woman from Skagway said that they were going to not challenge but protest the rates. He has got me in touch with the energy and sustainable they have a staff person at the executive branch who is looking into some of the information that we sent to find that out. And he has echoed the very same things that Jason has talked to us about moving to change their model so that we could recoup more of the PCE somehow. But the complaint still remains that our increases are exponential because they're doing an across the board percentage increase rather than a per kilowatt hour increase. And they are afraid that if they don't produce profit for their shareholders, then they won't be a viable utility. They have all kinds of reasons, but we're still looking at trying to work with them on what we can possibly do to alleviate some of those costs, because they do nothing but continue to go up.
Mm-hmm. Councilmember Taylor?
I read Skagway's proposal to the, or their,
I think it was a motion to intervene.
Yeah, motion to intervene. And it is that they, it just asks permission for them to intervene and to be part of the process. So they don't set forth their argument as to why the rates may not have been appropriately or fairly calculated. So that would be another big step that they would have to do. And our situation here may be different. The utility, of course, has the right to recoup their, to have revenue that's sufficient to cover their expenses and have a moderate profit. I have, for some reason in my mind, I have something like 18% or something, but at any rate, the regulatory process, when they do a rate base change or proposal such as this, requires that the Alaska Energy Authority and the and RAPA, the which is a division of the State Attorney General's State Department of Law, they will review the calculations done by the utility, and they are supposed to assure that the utility has only applied costs that they are allowed to apply to it, and that their calculations as to what the resulting rate should be are appropriate. So they're supposed to do that for us. Now, if we were to intervene or be part of that, we would presumably have to have some data and reason to show that their calculations were in error and that we're being hurt by that. And that's a very detailed thing. We would have to hire a consultant, as we have done in the past, to check all of the stuff. And it may come out that their consultant who did their calculations for them had the same result, and that so that we could spend a lot of money on this and not get any reduction in the rates. I'm sort of hesitant to suggest that we spend the money to do that, but that's my view. I think if we don't have a good, really good reason to suggest that, I mean, good data that where we can show that they are in error and they are asking for more than they are due under the law, then we're wasting our time and our money. So,
thank you. Are there any other council members that want to comment on this issue? I don't see any hands raised. Thank you for that explanation. Okay, the UNA rural petition has been accepted by the Local Boundary Commission, and public comment period in February, and the Boundary Commission has offered to hold an informational city meeting for the city on Zoom. I can just feel fairly certain we'll be setting that up pretty soon. The last thing I wanted to mention was the CRMA Beach Amendment was signed by the State Department of Natural Resources, thanks to the hard work of Councilmember Taylor and the Beach Committee. Did you want to talk about that at all?
No, well, I have to thank you for pushing that through, and as you took over as mayor, and making that connection and getting it through DNR, and we very much appreciate their willingness finally to sign off on it. It does put us in a better, a more clear position for managing the beach tracks going forward.
Okay. Yeah, since I was looking through the materials, it looked like it took about a year and a couple of months to kind of make it happen. But the woman at DNR is just very agreeable and very easy to work with. The last thing I just wanted to say, well, I guess I don't want to say that just yet. And are there any other city council questions and comments that they wish to make?
So this is Janine, and I'm just noticing on our agenda, there was to be a marine facilities quarterly report, and I'm wondering if we're going to get that or what's the status?
It's carried over till next month.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and this is second opportunity for public comment on non-agenda items, if any member of the public wishes to speak up. Righty, I don't see any hands up. And looks like we are coming to adjournment. I wanted to wish everybody, you and your family, safe and happy holidays, and thank Liesl for how festive she's made City Hall. It just, you know, she's really brought the spirit of the holiday season to us. And do we have any further business? Nope. And since there's no further business, the meeting is adjourned. And the time is, let me see, I'm not seeing it. Oh, 8:07. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Happy holidays.
You do.
Thank you very much.